Not a Vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. It's myself, Mo Mootsy, alongside me, as always, the legendary coach, Mr. Brennan Sir. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great. Great day here. It seems like we're now into March. Only about 6 weeks to go. I mean, in the season, I think it's flying by, you know, and for some teams, about 20 games to go, a quarter of the season.
It is flying by. The draft is around the corner. Playoffs are around the corner. Our next episode, we're having a very special guest to talk all things draft. But, Coach, I got a question for you before we get
there. Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you some names, right? And I want you to tell me who's the best player based strictly on their college career. Not their NBA career, not what they've done in professional basketball after that, but just in college.
Okay.
Are you ready? We've got VJ Edgecombe at Baylor.
Okay. Right?
Marvin Bagley at Duke. Jason Williams at Florida. Brianna Stewart at
Jason UConn. Williams, like white chocolate, Jay Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He went to Florida, right?
Yes, sir.
So, Jason Williams at Florida. And Brianna Stewart at UConn. And Draymond Green at Michigan State.
It's pretty simple, my opinion. Brianna Stewart, by far.
Goated, yep.
Draymond Green, second. He was a terrific college player. Mm-hmm. I believe it or not, it's VJ, even though he only played 1 year, because Jay Williams, and I have a story with him that I'll tell you later, was thrown off the team in his junior year.
Wow.
Yeah, midway through the season. And Marvin Bagley, even though he was most heralded player coming, maybe other than Beastu, coming into college, he was a terrific high school player, highly recruited. Didn't do, you know, it was a high draft choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's my group.
Okay. Do you know the reason I ask you about those players specifically?
No, sir.
Because they are the players you can win with rewards in season 5 of NBA 2K26, my team. So you can get those cards and play with those players representing their colleges. And Brianna Stewart and Draymond Green, as you guessed, are 100 overall rated. So they are pretty unstoppable, as they were in college, as they are in real life. But we're going to talk more about the draft on Thursday. If you guys don't have 2K26, make sure you go get that so you can get involved in the college madness. However, Coach, is that time of the season now?
Can I tell you a Jason Williams story?
Of course.
Yeah, I think you'll find this interesting because it came out recently, and a friend of the show, the former goat of your podcast, Mr. BJ Armstrong, called me up immediately and said, "I just saw this. Is this a true story?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And the story is such that when he came out of college, he left 1 year early. I had an Orlando Magic, Chuck Daly, and I had 3 first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was 12, 13, and 15. And we, but his agent was a friend, and he said, "I will give him to you guys with the Magic. If you just tell me you're going to take him, we won't let him try out for anyone else." Mm-hmm. And Chuck Daly and I said, "Absolutely, yes." Our general manager at the time, John Gabriel, said, "No."
Wow.
So he went and tried out for Sacramento Kings and was the 7th pick, I believe.
Yep.
And he would have, I'd still be coaching if we had picked him.
Yep.
And that is an absolute true story.
You guys ended up taking Michael, is it Dolich at the 12th pick?
Doliak. Michael Doliak.
There we go.
From Utah, center.
Yep.
Matt Harpring.
Matt Harpring. And then Matt Harpring at 15. Yep.
And it was, I can't say the word I want to say, but disappointing, to say the least. Could have had J. Will. who turned into white chocolate, which I think still he has the best highlights of any NBA player as far as passing, stuff he could do with a basketball. He was Pete Maravich after Pete Maravich for those fans, you know. Okay, absolutely. My fault.
What could have been?
I just had to tell it.
Oh, no, what could have been?
BJ will be proud of that story.
Yeah, well, it all comes full circle. BJ's in Sacramento now, so maybe they can get a player as
excited. Oh, is that where he is? I was wondering Jason where Williams he was. I was wondering where BJ was. He's in Sacramento.
No, he's just on season long.
I thought he was in a witness protection program.
So anyway, as I was saying, All-Star break is done. Yeah. You know, all of the theatrics of the regular season are coming to a conclusion very soon. But now the regular season matchups, they seem to mean a little more. You know, there's an added intensity to them. And there's been a few games on my radar. Number one was the Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder going to overtime.
Yes.
And somewhat of a brawl, not quite to the levels of the Hornets and Pistons, but somewhat of a skirmish. Just bringing out the intensity early on in that game. Shea got a technical foul for throwing the ball at Jokic early in the first quarter. Lou Dort got ejected from the game for hip checking, shoulder checking Jokic when he was running back on defense. And Jalen Williams and Jokic got into a little fisticuffs, shall we say. But what stood out to me about that game, not just the amazing basketball on display, the fact that it went to overtime, is you can see how much these games mean to these players now. A couple months ago, regular season games would happen, and they would happen, and it'd be okay, cool. But now, everyone's got one eye on the playoffs. There's an added level of intensity, and I'm loving it. And I feel like that game was pretty important. The two leading candidates for MVP, two teams who think they can win the Western Conference. Obviously, Aaron Gordon and Peyton Watson were missing. And of course, the OKC Thunder were missing Jalen Williams, the other one. And yeah. Was Hartenstein playing? God, they have so many injuries, it's hard to keep track.
It's hard to keep track each night with them.
But there was injuries on both sides. But what did you take away from that game? And did it clear up the picture of who's going to win the West in your standings?
Not at all. From the standpoint of I still, even though the Spurs stumbled yesterday against the Knicks, they're three games behind in the win column. They are right on their butt. And every time they go on the floor now, and the Spurs, to be on their butt, they had to win 10 games in a row. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're competing. And if anyone's been watching Wimby, you're seeing a guy that it might be right now top three competitors in the league, in my opinion. I mean, he brings it every night. So I love that. Even in a blowout yesterday with the Knicks, he still showed up.
We'll
big
talk
time.
About that one. We'll yeah, talk about
no,
that
I'm saying he
sure.
shows up. Yeah. But I what I see now is a sense of urgency. And because, take it from one who knows, I've had the first seed in the playoffs all the way through the finals, and I won two championships.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you know, you might not even get to the finals. Okay, so I think it's so important.
Can you explain to the fans, yeah. Coach, yeah. why home court is so important? Not just because you have the fans cheering for you for an extra game if it goes to a game seven, but all the other factors that go into it as well.
Well, number one, you're sleeping in your own bed, okay? Your routine is the same. And, you know, and also in a game seven, if you get to a game seven, the intensity, the crowd, it's like nothing else. I mean, we played one year, 1990, maybe, Michael Jordan in Game 7 at the Palace of Auburn Hills, which was the preeminent arena in the league at that time. It was only 2 years old. And we lost by 26 points, maybe, in Game 6 in Chicago. And then we come in there, Game 7. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if we're going to be able to beat him. That's how nervous I was. And I believe the final score was 90-74.
Wow.
With the Bulls scoring 74 in Scottie Pippen's famous migraine headache game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He had a headache because he saw Rodman on the other side.
I don't blame him.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's the difference it can make, because even with Michael, you know, they couldn't get by. And so I think it's a huge advantage. And officials, human nature steps in there too. even though the officials in this league are amazing as far as not favoring teams home and away. It just makes a difference. But you play better. The baskets, you shoot on them all the time. You're used to playing there 40-plus games a year.
Yeah, it's like an unwritten rule. It's an unwritten rule that the role players always play better at home.
That's right? That's a great point.
That's an unspoken rule.
Yeah. And
you saw that in this game. OKC hosted the Denver Nuggets. Caruso hit a bunch of threes at the end that were huge shots. OKC needed a game seven at home to beat the Denver Nuggets last year in the playoffs. Right. So you can see and how important it, that number one seed is.
And needed it in the finals.
Yep, they needed it in the finals as well. And a Tyrese Halliburton Achilles pop. How about that?
So I think it's huge. And so I think you're going to see the intensity popping at the end of the year now. There's games. And so the difference also is one seed is really important because you have home court in your conference all the way to the finals. If you have the best record in the whole league, you get it in the finals also, which is huge. But then the other things are the positioning, Mo, in spots 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. Huge, because now 1, 2, 3, and 4 have home court advantage in the first round, but you can get matched up 2 versus 7. It could be a bad matchup, but more that's the 4, 5 and the 3, 6 matchups that I think you really have to worry about.
Yeah, how much of this is strategic? Because we've seen teams over the years in the late stages of the season, you know, when you get to the end of April, mid-April, just before the playoffs, you see some teams try to rest players to lose games so that they can get a matchup they like. You see, the year the Milwaukee Bucks won their championship, I really liked the fact that they didn't rest their guys, even if it had meant that they have to play Miami in the first round, who beat them previously, and they said, we don't care. We got to go through whoever we got to go through to win a championship, and it worked out for them. I love that mentality. But we see a lot of teams being very strategic with their, you know, we always talk about the bad teams tanking. The good teams tank too at the end of the year. If there's a matchup that they don't think is favorable to them, they might try and lose a couple games so that they can slide maybe from second to third or from third to fourth to get a different opponent in that first round.
Yeah, it happened to me when I was in Orlando. We tied for the best record in the East, Miami, Indiana, and Orlando. It was a lockout shortened 50-game season. We were all three of us were 33-17. And we got the worst matchup. We got Philadelphia 76ers with Iverson. Mm. And it's the one guy that we couldn't guard in the league. Mm-hmm. And they eliminated us, even with home court advantage. So then one year, I remember we wanted to play the Knicks, and they intentionally lost games so they wouldn't face us. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've seen it both ways. It's a dangerous game, though.
And that 1999, the year we had the shortened season, you guys finished third, the Knicks were the 8th seed, and they ended up getting to the finals that year.
Yes, but we wanted them. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's funny, but it's a dangerous game to play. I don't recommend it. I'm like you. I think you got to go through people, but we have seen that. And it'll be one or two games at the very end you might play with. I've never done it, but you're accurate. It happens.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that home court and that first seed, the Spurs are now 2.5 games back. They were only 2 games back, but they lost just before we recorded this to the New York Knicks. I was calling the game on Amazon Prime. But what I saw from the Knicks coach, that really intrigued me, because the New York Knicks defense was as good as I've seen this group of New York Knicks players play defense all season long. They locked in the first 7 minutes of the game. They were getting crushed. You know, yep. The Spurs put the pressure on them. They looked like they were going to run away with it. And all of a sudden, after a timeout, the switch flipped. And the Knicks defense, obviously the offense was good, Brunson and Bridges, you know the usual story. But the defense that I saw from New York, and you were saying before we started this episode, that over the last 17 games, they have the number one ranked defense in the NBA. How does a team midway through the season just switch on a defense, especially when their two best players are known as defensive liabilities?
That's exactly right. I think there's two factors. One, they were losing games. And so in New York, it's one city that the media doesn't let you hide. Mm-hmm. They call you out. And they were calling out Mike Brown, his coaching staff, and the players. Basically, trade Karl Anthony Towns if he's not going to play defense. Let's get Giannis in here. You know, all that kind of noise. Mm-hmm. And they have offensive and defensive coordinators there, and the guy's the defensive coordinator's first year with Mike Brown, Brendan O'Connor. He's really doing a good job. And you know what? Everyone's healthy also for them, for the most part. They're top seven. They got seven, eight
aside
men.
From Miles McBride, everyone's healthy. Miles, and but, even that, know, but, they knew he wouldn't be healthy, and that's why they got Alvarado.
Yeah, but the big difference is Alvarado.
Mm-hmm.
Alvarado is, he's a whirling dervish. He has intensity. Every minute he's going to, when Alvarado came into this game today, they outscored the Spurs 24-2 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that too often. 24-2. But Alvarado just makes things happen, Mo. And that's why, to me, it's one of the most puzzling trades of the year. Why the Pelicans?
I don't know why the Pelicans. And I actually wanted to talk about the Pelicans, who are on a 4-game win streak. We'll talk about them in a sec. I wanted to finish talking about this Spurs-Knicks game, right? Because the Spurs coming into this on an 11-game win streak. But I didn't want to say this on the air, but I'll share it with our listeners here.
Okay.
The Spurs went to Detroit
inside
on
stuff.
Tuesday.
This is inside stuff for only the Hoop Genius listeners.
That's
I love
for
it.
Real.
Love it.
They went to Detroit on Tuesday, beat the best team in the East. On Thursday, they went up to Canada to play the Raptors, beat them. On Friday, second night of a back-to-back, they played the Brooklyn Nets. They had Saturday off in New York City. Some nice weather starting to creep in. And then they had a midday tip-off against the Knicks on Sunday. They were never going to win this game. A night off on a Saturday night in New York, the weather's starting to look good. The lady's starting to look fine. You're riding high on an 11-game win streak. Everyone wants to celebrate. Everyone's telling you you're the guy. They were never showing up for this one.
This is professional basketball, Mo. I don't know. These guys are not like you. Come on, man.
Coach, I'll tell you this for free. The guys are more like me than you.
Oh, that's for sure. No. Hey, the schedule beats you sometimes. They've been on a road.
They've been
on the road a while. And to be in New York City for three, four days. And Toronto is another great city. You know, they weren't there that long, but it's another great city. So, you know, coming out of San Antonio, which is pretty quiet, laid back town, so to speak, and getting to these big cities, and you only get to the Eastern Conference cities one time a year.
Yep.
Yeah. So this was a big deal. And a lot of players like Wimby and them, they have sponsor activations that happen during that time sometimes in New York. You know, I remember last year they did it around Christmas time and stuff, obligations, media and stuff. So, and it was a national TV game today and stuff. So a lot of eyeballs on you. And the Knicks, I'm telling you, the Knicks, though, they're a better team right now. They are really, really playing well. And I think
loss to the Cavs was a wake-up call as well.
I think the East now, the top four teams, you can flip a coin to see who's going in. I really believe that right now with 20 games to go.
Anything could happen in the playoffs. I think the Pistons have got the one seed on lock, but whether they can win the Eastern Conference, that remains a question mark.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean, in the playoffs. You're right.
But how about this? In the course of the game, I was talking about this. If you look at the Spurs' upcoming games, they've got the Sixers, the Pistons, the Clippers, the Rockets, the Celtics, and the Nuggets, right? A tough schedule. Also for the Knicks, their upcoming games, they've got to go play the Raptors, but then they've got the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Lakers, and the Clippers. They have a real tough schedule coming up. The Lakers and Clippers will be the third and fourth game in 4 days, I believe, or 5 days. So they've got a tough schedule coming up for all these teams. But as I said at the start, all of these games really start to mean more now.
Mm-hmm.
How much of this, from a coach's perspective, though, Coach, is, of course, you want to win every game possible. Of course, you want to get the best seed possible. But you do also want to make sure your guys are in perfect shape for the playoffs to roll around. And they've not exerted all of their energy trying to go for seeding. And they have nothing left in the tank when the playoffs come in.
Yeah, this is when you develop your playoff roster. So if you're going to be an 8-man roster or a 9-man roster, I don't think we see really, other than OKC, we really don't see teams that play more than that in a game. This is when you have to do it. But I think the biggest thing is, all I would remind our guys is, and not every game, but the importance of every game when you add them up at the end. One night, if you don't come ready, can cost you a seeding down the road, even if it's 20 games out. If you didn't show up to play one of the teams like Utah down the bottom, the Pacers, you know, the Pelicans, the Kings, all these teams that are vying for their lottery, Washington, if you're not, if you don't show up, those guys are pros too. Mm-hmm. And all and of a sudden,
the organization might be wanting to get a good draft pick with the players on the court. They want to win.
The players aren't buying into that. In fact, some of them would like to spite management by doing that, you know, because they're next year, they're not going to say, yeah, but I helped you last year. I helped you last year get a high pick. Yeah, well, that guy's taking your place. So they don't care about that.
Yeah, the Pelicans intrigue me, Coach, because they aren't tanking because they don't have their draft pick. They're just pretty bad. However, they've won the last four games. They're 6-4 in the last 10. And Zion Williamson played 35 consecutive games. I didn't see anyone talking about it, but Zion Williamson played 35 consecutive games, the longest streak of consecutive games in his career, only to then suffer an injury in their last game out.
Ankle injury, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, hopefully he gets back together. But are we seeing now, as the season has rolled on, are we seeing Joe's vision come to life over there in New Orleans? Because they're getting DeJounte Murray back as well, who missed most of the season. They've had a lot of health problems in New Orleans for a long time. But are we starting to see glimpses of what the future of this roster can look like?
Yeah, I mean, I believe Trey Murphy had this tonight or last night was the first game I think he was playing since the All-Star break. And so and he's really been their best player all year. I think so. I think this is what Joe's envisioned. Joe's has some good talent on his team. Mm-hmm. But I think I still wouldn't have done the Alvarado deal. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is I give James Borrego, the coach, a lot of credit because he's fighting for his life as a coach. And you guys been a head coach before in Charlotte. He's been up for many head coaching jobs. But a few games ago, he put in a 37-year-old guy to become his starting center, DeAndre Jordan. And they haven't, you know, they hadn't lost a game since.
They've had some interesting lineups, you know, starting.
The guy hadn't played really since October.
DeAndre. Like, I forgot DeAndre Jordan was even still in the league. Like, I see him doing media stuff. I'm thinking, cool. Like, I see Blake on Amazon and I think, well, DJ must be retired too, but no, he's still there. They've really unlocked Sadiq Bey. He had 42 a couple of nights ago.
Good player.
He's been going off. They've got some interesting pieces. It's just, I think, about finding the right fit. How do you feel about Derek Queen and Zion Williamson coexisting? Because they're two players who, in my head, theory-wise, can't really fit together too well. Neither of them prolific shooters from outside. Defensively, they both need a center alongside them to help protect the rim. I'm also surprised that it's DeAndre Jordan starting rather than Yves Missi, who you'd want to develop as a younger guy. But what do you think about the future of the Pelicans? And are we going to see this summer Zion moving on?
No, I don't think so. I think Zion's still, talent-wise, he's one of the 10 best players in the league. And I think he's proven that when he plays, you know, games. And there's no comparison between Zion and Queen as players and in my opinion, even value. He just had to play. But I think Zion is so unique. He reminds me a lot of Barkley, Charles Barkley, in that Charles Barkley never played out in the floor. They put his butt in the post. And that's where I think Zion should be. He's got better ball skills than Charles, except on the break. Charles was terrific on the fast break. He was like a freight train when he was going. But I think Zion, if you post him up the way post defense is played in this league today, he would annihilate people. I've never understood that, why they didn't do that in New Orleans. Ironically, the way Joe Dumars, as a player with us with the Pistons, that's what we did. We had our small forward posting up all the time. So I'm really surprised that they haven't done that.
Yeah, and it's tougher now if you're starting with a player like DeAndre Jordan who can't stretch the floor. You know, back when they had Valanciunas and stuff, I was thinking, why are they not posting Zion and then Valanciunas can space the floor? But now with DeAndre, it's even less space for him to operate in. And absolutely, with Derek Queen out there, even less space to operate with. So they've got talent on paper. It's just about finding the right combinations, rotations, in order to make it a success. But is this one of those teams who, you know, sometimes we see teams at the end of the season show glimpses of what they're capable of the year after. right? Like, if you remember the year, I think Chris Paul was on the Suns, and they had a great run in the bubble and so on and so forth. And then the year after, they went to the finals. Mm-hmm. Is this one of those teams that a year from now, people are going to be shocked because they weren't paying attention now, or do you think they'll still be struggling next year?
Do they have any first-round pick at all?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. So, I think, I hate to say this about my city that's an hour away, but I think it's the water in New Orleans. I really do. People just can't stay uninjured down there, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So I just think that they have to, they're in a tough spot. They are really in a tough spot, and they're not getting fans to come to the games, which is even worse in the NBA because almost every arena sells out.
I watched a Grizzlies game the other day, and there was probably more people in my house than in the Grizzlies arena.
Well, the problem is now with the teams that are, quote, tanking by outsiders' opinion, those are the teams that are struggling with attendance right now. Except, I'm not going to say that the Dallas Mavs are tanking. I'm not saying that because they're still drawing tremendous fans. The Bulls sold out every game. It's the darndest thing.
The Kings fans are still amazing despite being bottom of the NBA.
Yeah, I mean it's so difficult to get them people to pay a lot of money for these players when you see that the home team doesn't have four or five of your best players because they're legitimately hurt, and then when you see a visiting team come in and I think it's difficult because the price of the tickets at some of these arenas is absolutely incredible, like the Lakers. Lakers, Knicks, highest priced tickets, and I don't think LeBron is playing.
But like the Pelicans or the Grizzlies, you can get a ticket for $3 or $4.
You can get great things, but is that entertainment? That's the question. To go down there and park and all that stuff. Yeah,
I know we've spoken about them briefly in previous episodes, but for me, the most entertaining team in the NBA right now is the Charlotte Hornets. 7-3 in their last 10. They're on a 4-game win streak. They're climbing up those standings right now.
I love the team. I absolutely love the team. I really like what Charles Lee, they have, and their GM, Jeff Peterson, have done with their team. I think they have youth. I think they play hard as could be. I think they got some swagger. They got some guys. Everyone's known that LaMelo Ball has played. LaMelo Ball's only problem has been two things: lack of availability, and he doesn't guard anyone. And two big problems. But Con Canepo, man, this cat, I mean, I thought he was picked way too high at number 4. Shame on me. This guy is maybe going to be the rookie of the year, or Cooper Flagg if Cooper comes back and plays. Otherwise, he's not going to play enough games, and it's going to be Con Canepo will be rookie of the year, which is absolutely incredible. No one had that on the dance card before the season. Brandon Miller has become a star. He's a 6'10 wingman. They're small, but
I'm glad
tough.
You said that because I feel like Brandon Miller doesn't get enough love when we talk about it. Everyone talks about LaMelo, everyone talks about Con, but Brandon Miller has been fantastic for them.
Absolutely incredible. 6'10", two guard wing, whatever you want to call him. And man, when you have a lead guard like LaMelo, then you can play with wings. And I call them I don't care if they're 6'10", 6'8", or 6'4", 6'5". Guys that can really shoot the ball, and that's what they're doing. Miles Bridges is an undersized, tough guy. So is your guy from Boston, Jalen Williams is a tough guy, but they're undersized. And somehow they're getting it done at the center spot. Somehow. They just play hard, and I love their team. They score a ton of points. Yeah, I think they're for real. I really do. And I remember we picked them as a team that was going to, get into the playoffs, not just a play in.
Yeah. I mean, they're in the 9th seed right now. It doesn't look like the Hawks or Bucks below them are going to catch them. It's just a question of whether they can leapfrog the Miami Heat, the Orlando Magic, or the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah. One thing about those guys, other than the suspension, those guys are healthy almost every game. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, now the ball came back, and I like what I'm seeing from them. So, but I give them credit. That's how a team can go from nowhere to right up there. And to be a playoff team. That would be a great story for the league, to be honest with you.
Mm, it would. It would, because I don't remember the last time the Hornets were this good. So,
right.
Yeah. What else is catching your eye, Coach? Anything else before we wrap up here?
Well, you know, I think we even said it the last time. I am so Golden State. I don't know why. I'm a huge Steph Curry fan. I'm a Steve Kerr fan. And I don't know when we're going to see Steph Curry again. You know, he's got a legit knee problem. And I don't see a way. I mean, I think they're holding the A spot right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. I mean, they're in the play-in for sure. But, I mean, I think we might see Steph Curry for one or two games in the play-in series, and that be it this year.
They do own their own draft pick this year. So is it too late to tank?
And I don't think they're tanking. I just think that, you know, if you look at some of the other guys, Horford's playing and some of these other guys. But, you know, the old thing about the guy that got Porzingis, he's not playing. And then the guy, your guy that they sent over to Atlanta for him, JK, Kuminga.
Kuminga, wow. How about that debut? How about that debut and making a statement?
In 24 minutes, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
24 minutes, about 27 points, I think, some ridiculous thing.
Yep.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, I hope for the young man's sake, this works for him.
So do I.
Because he's immense talent. He's an immense talent.
He deserves a fair shot at it without a coach who wants to keep him hidden on the bench.
Yeah, so I hope that works. And I think Atlanta needs him to get them charged up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. We do have a very special guest coming up on Thursday, so make sure you mark your calendars for that one. Coach, any clues for the people this week?
Yeah, I mean, you and I keep talking about tanking. We've explained what tanking is. But, you know, why tank? I think the person that we're going to have come on will explain why and if it's a good idea this year to be in the NBA draft.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Is that pretty good?
I think that's pretty good.
I'll give another hint. He's the best basketball broadcaster analyst in the U.S.
I like that you put in the U.S.
In the U.S. I said in the U.S. I would never be disloyal to my teammate, Dr. Mo here. And also, because he doesn't make enough money, he has to have a side hustle.
That's crazy.
That's one to think about.
Yeah, let's see if any of you guys can figure it out. But until next time, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. Share the show with a friend, all that good stuff. And until next time, get buckets.